What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here with a name you know, and you're about to know him even more on Saturday, November 2nd at WWE Crown Jewel as he takes on Seth Rollins in Saudi Arabia. We got Bronson Reed. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. You know, nice morning here in sunny Florida, so I can't complain.
I have to ask, are you Peter Griffin or the chicken?
I'm definitely Peter Griffin. In my mind, even though that fight is eternal, Peter Griffin will be the one that ends up winning. So
I have, like, on our review shows and everything, I've just said that's a formula that always works. Peter Griffin, yes, versus the chicken. It's on site. I believe you two want to tear each other apart, you and Seth Rollins. And
I believe it too.
Yeah, there you go. And before that, Braun Strowman. Like, it went from one rivalry to another where a lot of what we saw on TV wasn't necessarily different, but it is because the physical elements are different. He's a different size than Braun Strowman. He's got different things that he can say, different things they can do. How does it feel to have these two stories just catch fire back to back like this, knowing what you have put into wrestling?
Yes, it feels great. Like, obviously, we've known each other for a long time, and I've been working here in the States now for the past 6 years, whether it was NXT or my part where I was doing New Japan Impact and now back in WWE. But I've been wrestling for like half my life now, so I feel like it's a good, like, accumulation. Finally, I'm getting these feuds that have a lot of eyes on them. You know, I've been involved in a lot of crazy things in wrestling, but these last 4 months or so have probably been the biggest for me.
I've just loved the way this has unfolded. Obviously, the thing with the six tsunamis is going to be talked about forever. Like, it was such a one night, in case you forgot, here's who this guy is situation. How did you feel coming back through the curtain after something like that happened? Because you had to know in that moment, like, yeah, this is a hit.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it is in the moment you start to realize, oh, okay, this is more than just a regular segment of TV. You know, I've attacked people before on TV. I've done similar things, but I could just tell by the way the crowd was reacting and just the reactions I was getting in the arena that when I got backstage it was going to be a similar thing. And I remember going through Gorilla and Hunter saying, like, that moment's going to live forever. Like, that's, you know, you're sort of set. So I like to sort of liken it to Austin saying his Austin 316 line, like, hopefully the six tsunamis will be something that now has changed the way I'm perceived and sets me on a bigger trajectory.
Clearly the tsunami hurts the person that you're doing it to, but it can't exactly be easy on you.
No.
What's the most painful one you've ever done to yourself?
So I remember before being in WWE, I was wrestling RVD in Australia.
Okay.
And I hit a tsunami and ended up, my PCL exploded on impact. So luckily that's one of those things you can sort of rehab and fix yourself. I wasn't with WWE at the time, so I was still wrestling on the independents with a exploded PCL, but it's all healed and good now. So.
Against a guy who was well-versed in
that was the thing.
Himself up there.
Yeah. I missed my tsunami, and then he went up and hit me with the frog splash.
Oh,
so
no.
While I was laying there in agony, I got hit with this frog splash by RVD, which was pretty surreal as well.
Elsewhere on Crown Jewel, we've seen that they've got the Crown Jewel Championship. I think it looks great. I'm interested. Yeah. What do you think is, like, the preeminent championship belt? What is the one that you look at and you go, that's the prettiest damn belt I have ever seen in my life, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, anything?
I mean, I'm a sucker for the old school eagle, like Attitude Era Stone Cold belt. Yep. The one that he had, the big eagle, that or the Undisputed Championship that came in 2002. Like,
okay,
I think those two are my favorite championships. If I was to choose now, I'd probably say the one that Gunther holds, which is the World Heavyweight Championship. I just like the aesthetic of it. It looks sort of like more old school, like the older championships of the past. They're the ones that I like.
It's like WWE took its, you know, its brand and like branded the big gold. I always felt like, and
yes,
it's funny that you mentioned Gunther, because you guys ran into each other a lot before you all came to WWE. It was frequent. And then of course you had your match in WWE as well. Is that like history that you would like to revisit within the context of the TV show as well? Because I think it was mentioned, but I mean, I don't know if they went in depth at like exactly how much you guys ran into each other outside of WWE.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't know that there's only one other guy that I've wrestled as much on different continents as at the time, Walter. We wrestled each other in Australia, USA, Germany, and England. So I'd like to do it again. I think I always wanted to wrestle Gunther in Japan because I think that'd be a great match for Japan. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure it will. And on television, I'm sure we're going to cross paths again as well. It's just, you know, right time, right place. I think he's going to be one of those guys. I don't see anyone beating him for that championship for a long time, just like the Intercontinental Championship. So I got plenty of time to get to that moment.
How often are you running into people now or seeing people signed where it's like the Paul Rudd, look at us, who knew type of moment? Like, I know you fairly early in your career ran into Mark Davis from Aussie Open and obviously people from Australia. There's only so many places out there to work, and you're going to have run into an awful lot of them eventually.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes, even backstage now in WWE, there's so many people that I worked on the independents with that it's like it almost feels like it is a new era of wrestling there. And it feels good because I was already familiar with these people. So it's like, and that's nothing against the guys that have been there for a longer time. Like, there's still a few of the older generation, like your Randy Orton and stuff like that, who's still there, who are incredible doing what they do. But it feels nice to sort of have those people that have come up the same way as you. So you've seen the same things, you've gone through the similar stories, and you can talk about that backstage.
And I mean, we saw the former Delta Zarya pop up, but I mean, I was thinking, oh, well, you might have actually missed her. But I mean, obviously you went back and did some stuff while you were gone from WWE. Is there anybody that you've looked at and you're like, oh, well, I knew they were getting picked up, knew they were getting signed. It was only a matter of time.
Well, I always tell the story to everyone, but like, I remember Rhea Ripley when she first started training. As soon as she first started training, I'm like, this girl's going to get signed by WWE. Yeah. Like, I just knew it. And obviously, huge superstar now. And then when I saw Delta come in and the thing she was doing, I said the same thing. I'm like, she's the next one after Rhea Ripley, I think. And now that, hopefully, that is what happens. They've built her up really well on NXT. Like, all those vignettes and stuff have been really cool to see. But as for Australian wrestling now, I'm a big fan of a guy that I helped train. His name is Tommy Knight. He's starting to do more. He's like a main event everywhere in the country in Australia, but he's going to start doing more overseas stuff soon. So hopefully you'll get to see him.
What does it mean for you as somebody from there to just see this explosion on worldwide TV? Because it, like in WWF, WCW, it didn't exist to this level. Like when I was a kid.
No. So for me as a kid, you know, longtime wrestling fan my whole life, there was no representation for Australian people in wrestling. Or you had like little glimpses. You had Nathan Jones, you know, he only lasted a couple of months, but like
I had Eugene as a Kentuckian. So well, like,
you have a lot of Americans at least.
I do have a lot of Americans, but as a Kentuckian? I had Eugene and Jillian Hall.
Okay. They lasted longer than Nathan Jones though.
Fair. They did.
But yeah, there was no representation, and now I think it's great that you know, I've been in there's a kids magazine back home that I've been in a few times, and it sort of is like surreal for me. I remember reading that as a kid and looking at pictures of Austin and The Rock and stuff like that, and now you get to see Bronson Reed and Rhea Ripley and Grayson Waller. Like, hopefully that inspires a whole new generation of wrestling fans back home that end up getting into the business.
So anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Gamers and watch lovers, stay frosty. We've got covert intel. Movement, the official timekeeper of the highly anticipated Call of Duty Black Ops 6, is releasing a special edition Black Ops 6 watch and accessory collaboration. Bring the aesthetics of the Black Ops 6 story straight to your wrist and wardrobe. It even arrives with custom packaging and a free gift. Shop the exclusive special edition collaboration at MVMT.com/BO6. That's MVMT.com/BO6.
Well, you had a quote recently that went viral. Just me quote tweeting it got a lot of attention. You already know what it is.
I'm not sure. I say a lot of wild things on Twitter. So
you said, if all else fails, myself and Otis can be the natural disasters. Well,
yes.
I'm an earthquake mark. I'm a giant mark. So
me too.
If you ever do that, listen, you've still got hair, but yeah.
For now,
they say when men were men, this is when haircuts were men, my friend.
Fantastic. I love that.
I saw people when you started to feud with Braun Strowman, they're like, he's got to just shave his head. And I'm like, no, forget that.
Let it go. Yeah.
And I'll say this. That's because when I was little, I thought everybody that looked like that could fight.
It's true.
I saw him in the grocery store. Yeah. I thought they could fight Bronson Reed.
He looks like he should be in a remake of Bloodsport. You know what I mean? That's yes. What Braun Strowman is. But like, I remember being a kid as well, seeing these big meaty men with beards and their wispy hair, they're flying in the air as the sweat dripped off of them. Like, that was my childhood. So I'm not opposed to it.
It was an amazing era, these big menacing heels. And you paid homage to Bam Bam Bigelow, like him as well. Yeah. But like Yokozuna and Sid and all these dudes that it's like the most horrifying thing as a kid you could possibly imagine. Vader, like all these guys. And the natural disasters, earthquake was up there for me. Like, so when you said that, I unironically was like, well, I love what he's doing now, but yeah, please.
I think it's one of those back pocket things, you know. I hope Otis isn't going anywhere. I think he's a very popular sort of guy. So if all else fails, you know, I want to be a big singles competitor, but there's always that in the back pocket of Natural Disasters 2.0. And he has to, like I said, I'm Tsunami, so he has to be Landslide or something like that.
I love it. I love it. What is the hardest you have ever been hit in the ring, Bronson Reed?
I mean, I've had some hard hits. I'll give you two. One is obviously Gunther. His chops are the hardest chops I've ever taken. So I remember distinctively the first time wrestling him in Germany, and we were in a tiny little warehouse. It was like their dojo where they're trained. And I remember getting chopped, and just how loud it was shocked me more than the actual feeling of the chop. And then obviously 2 seconds later, your brain goes, oh, that's on my chest. That, and I'll have to say, Kenta, he used to kick very hard back in when I first wrestled in Pro Wrestling Noah. Every time he kicked me, he gave me a go to sleep that, you know, sent me for a loop. Like, I'd say, Gunther or Kenta are the hardest hitters, and they've hit me pretty hard.
So I know you've talked a little bit about coming back to WWE. I'm interested in the callback because I have some unique insight into this. When I'm fishing around, seeing who's getting signed, who's signing with who, what agents, I had a couple agents be like, this man is very confident he's going to get signed by WWE. Like, he's got a lot of confidence in himself. And
yes.
And they, even like agents in the wrestling world, were like, I think he is. Like, based on his body of work outside of WWE, why wouldn't they want him back? How did the call go when you when they hit you up and they say, well, we want you back?
It was very welcomed. I mean, at the same time, I was sort of hitting my stride with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I have a deep love for Japanese style wrestling. Like, when I was a teenager, I got into that, and because there were no Australian wrestlers in WWE, I thought that would be my career. I thought I'd be a Japanese wrestler, and that was it. But then when WWE became a full circle thing, like, when I got released, there was so much I hadn't done. I hadn't been on a Monday Night Raw. I hadn't been on a SmackDown pay-per-view, all these things. So when Hunter called me and we spoke about everything, that was definitely a deciding factor. But it was, you know, I have a good relationship with Triple H, and I definitely wanted to play on his team.
Well, you did, and you won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And funny enough, when I was soliciting questions from our subscribers about this, they asked, does he have the trophy? Or is that something where they're like, okay, listen, the shipping, getting that expedited, maybe this is for decoration.
Yes.
And if not, will you get one, kind of like people get, you know, the title belts after they win them?
Yeah, like I have a replica, like North American Championship. And I asked the merchandise people, like, is there a replica Andre the Giant Battle Royal Memorial trophies? And they're like, no, it's just one. So the one you see, they put the different names on every year. So that stays there.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And then my name's been added. The next year, someone else's name will be added. So unfortunately, I don't get to take that home. But I was hoping
have somebody commission it. There's got to be a good woodworker out
there. Oh, yeah. There's got to be someone that'll do it. I said, if not, like, I've been thinking about it, I have a bunch of like Andre figures. I'm like, I might have to just spray paint one of them gold and wear it on a chain.
I love it. It's like the commemorative. It's like winning a Super Bowl ring or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's I have not the, the actual trophy.
Andre chain. Yeah.
Out of respect. Yeah. Last year we saw you do the Mr. Nice Guy vignettes, and
yes,
that seems like something obviously you could go back to in the future, because I don't feel like that was fully explored. What was your vision for that?
I mean, it was basically, you know, it was based on myself to a degree, but I was working with Paul Heyman, and he came up with the Mr. Nice Guy tagline. Yeah. And basically it's just, you know, I am in my life, I'm the good guy. I always say that, you know, I'm a dad now. I'm a loving husband. I do everything I can to be a nice guy, but when it comes to being in the ring, I have to be a killer. So that's sort of what that character is based on. It's almost based on like a hitman for hire. You see these hitmen in their everyday lives. They're normal guys with families and stuff. They just happen to go kill people at night. So that's Mr. Nice Guy.
Well, we're going to see how much damage you do. Coming up November 2nd, WWE Crown Jewel against Seth Rollins. I'm so excited for this match. I'm very excited. Bronson Reed, I want to thank you so much. Before we go off the air, favorite Rage Against the Machine song?
Well, I would say, I mean, I'm wearing a Bulls on Parade t-shirt. It's probably Testify, to be honest.
Okay. I'm a big Revolver fan. Like, that whole Evil Empire album is
fantastic.
So good. So good. Until next time, my friends, we are out. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.